Good evening, one and all. Yes, halfway through another week. More than halfway through October. And here we are, Barry, your host today. Host always on the book in the chat. Your host, Barry, with another guest. Now, as I said last few weeks, about 2 weeks ago, I think now, it must have turned the time, bits passed me so quickly. Went back to England to see the family and, catch up on things and stuff like that. And one of the things I was asked all the time, be it sitting in the sort of the clubhouse on the Corridor Park or sort of talking to family, talking to friends and stuff like that, is about the state of America. Seriously, I was getting asked, are Americans so thick that they can't see through Trump? The rest of the world, and I'm talking about outside the shores of America, there is another part of the world, majority of it, just can't understand what's going on, how he's being allowed to get away with it. Before I start, I have no axe to grind. I can't even vote in America. Even though I've been here 20 years, I can't even vote in America. However, when people, and I must admit I'm getting like this, you no longer can call the country USA because it's not the United. People in Europe are now calling it the DSA, for Divided States of America. And they're not sure if they're sort of laughing at America or just feeling sorry for them. It really is. Here we are. 9 months after the January uprising, 10 months. And I think there's just a handful of people so far been convicted. The American legal system, as far as the rest of the world is concerned, is a paper tiger. I think they saw that with the whole business with O.J. Simpson driving along with about 200 police cars behind him and everything that was farcical went on after that. And they can't understand how this person in quotes, is being allowed to get away with it, to do what he does, to say what he said, even to this, what he said this last week. He's get away with it, and he has so many people who believe exactly what he says is the truth. We saw this in Germany in the 30s, and it's here in America. Well, a lot of things you might wonder how he does get away with it. Legal system just seems to sort of doesn't seem to work for him. Just he sort of sues people at the drop of a hat and then doesn't pay the lawyers and everything like this. However, my guest today took on Trump. Not just took on Trump, but took him on and beat him. And he tells us about all that happened with this. And we won't tell you exactly what it is about until I get him on the show. In this new book he's just brought out. Well, I better introduce him because I'm really looking forward to speaking to this gentleman, because on the show today, I have the one and only Art Cohen. Hi, Art. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Barry. Thank you very much for the kind introduction.
My pleasure. It's great to have you on the show. I mean, you're an entrepreneur. And you got involved because you signed up for the now discredited, thanks to you, Trump University back in 2009. Because I guess you wanted to become a real estate developer or something, didn't you?
That's correct. And, what it was is I was in a startup company before that, and as a founder and CEO. I was pushed out as CEO, and I was looking for something new to do. So I was between jobs or opportunities, as I like to call it. And this came across something that seemed like a reasonable opportunity. Trump's name in 2009 was somebody that was respected as a good and great developer. Mm-hmm. And the program that he promised and was that he would connect you up with some of the best professors, the best people and staff. This was going to be better than University of Pennsylvania he was talking about. Mm-hmm. So I signed up for this class and invested quite a bit of money. It turned out that I put in close to $40,000 into this class. Yes. It didn't take too long to learn, and part of the class was that you were assigned a mentor, somebody that would guide you through the program, teach you the, quote, secrets that he promised, and so forth and so on. And there I was, suckered by this program, because the mentor had less real estate experience than I did. In fact, it was even worse than that. He was giving advice that turned out to be illegal actions in California.
Oh, wow.
In the book Trump U. And that's Trump Y-O-U. It's a little play on words there. And if you see the cover, you'll understand.
I fully understood the cover. Don't forget that. I fully understood it. And it was very hard not to say what it was fully meant to be. But yes, okay. But, this whole business of what you went through, I mean, this... People who, if they might, it was early in the morning, but, you know, the people in Britain, they, especially in Scotland, went through something like this with the whole of the thing that, with the golf course there that was meant to be this sort of best ever golf course, would have all the championships, would bring 900 jobs in a world-class hotel. He got money from the Scottish government, who are now trying to get it back, and the Scottish mafia, you know, he basically can't go to Scotland at the moment. He's banned from Scotland. But, you know, he never did the thing there. I think that there's actually about 10 jobs been made. There's hardly anybody uses the golf course. The first thing he did was kick all the local residents out so that the view wouldn't be spoilt. Built trees up so that the other people that were left couldn't see anywhere. And it was very similar that, you know, promise one thing and deliver nothing. So how did you get involved in the legal side after this? You know, you spent all this money and got nothing.
Yeah, I realized I was duped, and right away I thought that based on the contract that was signed, that I couldn't do very much. But then in 2010, I found online a litigation that had commenced, a class litigation. What was known as the Makoff case, and a woman in Southern California had experienced the same. And then I suddenly realized, wow, I'm not the only one, you know. And it turned out there were thousands of students that were involved in this. And I joined that class action suit in 2010. And then as I became part of that suit was only able to include California, New York, and Florida, because of the type of elder law and other statutes that were similar in those three states, but it didn't include the rest of the United States. And then my attorneys asked me if I would take on the lead plaintiff role and sue Trump directly for RICO, which is Racketeering Influence Corrupt Organizations Act. And
okay.
It's a civil suit, but it has the hammer of treble damages. And that those treble damages would have amounted to $120 million if we had actually gone to court and gone through the process, plus attorney's fees. So it had a little bit more teeth than the original suit. So we filed a class action suit in 2013, and I became the lead plaintiff. And now I'm representing all almost 7,000 students throughout the entire United States, including, well, every state. And so because there were students throughout the country that were cheated and did not get their money's worth for what they put in.
Right.
And
right.
thought that their money was lost. And there were some people who invested $1,500. There were people like Makoff who had invested as much as $70,000. So that's how I got involved in the case.
So, I mean, You don't realize how many people it affected till you suddenly think, okay, you know, how many people go to online universities or online things like that? And then you realize it's thousands. And a lot of these people have put, you know, they could have put lost their work, and they could have taken their whole savings, what they had or any money they had, lived off anything just to try and improve, you know, and had a better chance of getting a job. You know, let alone the dreams of a lot of people being smashed, and this person's just—it's just laughing at everybody and just saying thank you very much, put the money in my pocket.
Yes, yes, and he really preyed on people's dreams in that respect. Maybe similar to Bernie Madoff's scam as well, something similar to this. But look, you know, at the end of the day, we won this lawsuit through a settlement in November of 2016. But what we went through to get there is really foreshadowed quite a bit of what his presidency ultimately was. You know, this is a guy, you know, starts off with deceiving, and then I call it the six D's: deceive, defraud, deny, deflect, dodge. And probably the most important one is delay.
Yeah.
And he may, and this trial should, you know, should have happened in August of 2016. Now let's, you know, roll back the clock. What was going on in 2016? Well, we're right in the middle of the election, presidential election.
Yep.
And he was campaigning all over the country. How inconvenient it would have been for him to sit in a trial that would have gone for 2 to 3 months, probably, between picking a jury and also going through all the witnesses as well as the expert witnesses. But Trump, along every part of the way, would find something to delay. As an example, we would choose an expert witness, and that expert witness, on paper, they would complain about something they didn't like, and then we would write a brief explaining it. They would write a brief back. The judge would, then we'd have a hearing, and then after the hearing, we would then ultimately, the judge would rule in our favor, and then they rule in our favor, and they would just appeal it.
Right.
Even though they know they're going to lose. Doesn't that sound familiar about what's going on?
Exactly.
Now,
exactly.
I want executive privilege.
Yeah.
But we know he's going to lose. He doesn't care if he wins or loses. That he's just delaying it. He wants to delay it through 2024 so that he doesn't have to give up any information to show proof that he actually was involved in the insurrection. And probably he and Steve Bannon playing the thing.
Exactly.
And the evidence will come up.
And this is what I got when I was, you know, it was at home and I was in Britain and talking to people from, you know, over there. It's the right cosmopolitan, you know, people from around the world over there. They said, how can this person just complain and you know, basically said, oh, you know, I don't believe it. We appeal against it. How can he keep doing that and getting away with it? How many cases did he bring up in the last election? Was it 70 odd? And he won one or something like that, you know? And yet, even now they're talking about, oh, delay this. Let's stop this person talking. Let's stop that person talking. And even when you do get him to talk, he talks in code like half the time.
Is correct. And he spoke in very interesting code. So, you'll find in my book there's a chapter called The Hot and Mike Moment.
Right.
In chapter 10. And that is when I was at Trump's deposition. So remotely. So I'm talking to my attorneys. They're taking his deposition in New York in his tower. And as they're taking the deposition, I'm talking to my attorneys through email and texting, asking them to ask other questions or whatever it may be during that time.
Right.
Here, they take a break. As you know, in depositions, breaks are taken. So he takes a break, he leaves the room, he comes back in the room. My viewer is still on through my computer.
Mm-hmm.
And then he and his attorney start talking. And in there, he talks to his attorney, and he asks him, could you please talk to the judge and talk to him about that thing about him. And maybe this whole thing will just go away. Boom.
Yeah.
Now, you can imagine what I'm thinking about.
Oh, doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't that sound familiar with the election and getting the judges to say that he won? Yeah.
Yes. And then he attacks the judge in public because of the Hispanic, you know, being claiming that he's Mexican and he's against him, he's a hater of Trump and so forth and so on. Well, during all this time, what people didn't know, as you'll learn, is that the judge was getting death threats, one, and two, in May of 2016, we had a hearing, and guess what that hearing was about? We have a trial coming up in August. We're already preparing for this trial. We're actually doing mock juries and so forth and so on. And guess what happens at that hearing. He asked for a delay.
He doesn't want to do a
trial in August. He is too busy, and this is not me talking. This is what his attorney representing him said. He says, I am too busy campaigning. I don't have time for this trial that's been going on for 5 years, which had many elder and senior students that were ripped off.
Yep.
Some who actually, even though we got them the money, passed away. But nonetheless, this is what he said. I don't have time for this. So they delayed the trial from May till after the election because the reason they gave, and these are all court documents. And by the way, one of the things about my book I want people to know is that I wrote this with Dan Good. Dan Good is an investigative reporter, worked for New York Daily News and other papers.
Right.
And what he did was he did some of the interviews that I couldn't go. It was awkward to go back and interview my own attorneys, you see.
Mm.
And he interviewed some of my attorneys. He also interviewed other attorneys, Tristan Snell, who was the assistant attorney general working with Eric Schneiderman in New York, because there was a third case that was filed in New York. So we had three cases all going at the same time that was related around Trump University that ultimately got settled. But, this was a situation that this hot mic moment revealed to me that there was some kind of conspiracy, if you will, to obstruct justice.
And
that delay cost America 4 years of withering our democracy, our democratic system.
Yep.
All the norms of what we thought were norms all went away.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, he's saying about this, about the judge and stuff like that. The rest of the world is sitting there saying, how's he allowed to say that? How's he allowed to call that person such and such? How's he getting away with, you know, with the sort of things and the rhetoric he uses? And the rest of your head just shake their, the rest of the world just shake their heads. They can't understand. I mean, you saw the bit where he was at the United Nations, and the rest of the leaders of the United Nations are basically laughing at him behind his back. You saw them talking about him and laughing at him. And that's, I'm afraid, that is what America became. It really did. It's, you know, it's embarrassing isn't the word, because I just happen to live here. But, you know, I get people contacting me the whole time asking about it. And you know, you yourself, you've been through it, so it's even more so. You said about the judge getting threats. Did you receive any threats? Did it sort of get to that level with you?
So I did not receive direct, but here is the point, is that I, and you know, I have, this book is coming out now in 2021. This happened in 2016.
Right.
And I released the tapes through Mother Jones in 2020 because I didn't want to see another I wanted people to know the truth about what happened. So I released those tapes. Those tapes are up on YouTube, and there's links to it on the book as well. But I did not receive I didn't go out to the press. I didn't put myself out there. And the reason why is I didn't want to, you know, my lawyers, we did not want to fight this in the press. We did the best we could to focus on the facts and fight this in the courtroom. And that's why the court, one of the things a lot of people say, well, wow, he's attacking the judge. Can't the judge say something? Can't he do something? The reality of it is, no, they won't. No judge will say anything. But the judges can communicate by court orders. And we, as my attorneys, we were able to communicate through court filings. So, you know, we were able to communicate in those particular ways, but we didn't want to go out into the press because of that. So I avoided that. And later in the book, you'll learn in trying to get this story out, and it hasn't been easy.
No.
For 2.5 years to write this book. But in July of 2019, you'll learn in the book that I filed a report with the California Department of Justice, letting them know the conspiracy to obstruct justice and what had happened and so forth. That case, you'll learn more about in the book, but it it leaves you at a little bit of a cliffhanger, to be quite frank. And,
I'm sorry. Sorry, the wife just checked in to see if I knew the turkey was still on. And yes, I did. Okay. One of the things, obviously, as well, is you wanted to sort of make sure everybody had received their money before you said in it, I'd have thought, as well.
That's right. And it was very important. So the money, even though the case settled in November 16th, we ended up dealing with one student, Simpson, who appealed, who felt that Trump should have apologized and she wanted more out of it. And so we had to go through this appeal process. That took us into 2018. And by April 2018, most of the funds went out. But then there was a second tranche of funds that went out in January of 19. And by that time, all the funds were given to all the students as well as New York State. And everything was dispersed. And so at that point, I had completed, in my mind, the fiduciary duty, which was representing all these thousands of students to make sure. And we got back 90 cents on the dollar. And part of the reason for that was because the law firms, there were two law firms involved, not one, one smaller law firm and then a much larger one. Robbins, Geller & Dodd is a larger one. Eklund Hayquist is the smaller one with Amber Eck, and she's quoted throughout the book as well. They took no money. They took no cost. They did pro bono.
Wow.
Now, that's a big deal, because if not, then the cost that they had gone through, imagine.
Oh, my goodness. Over that period? Oh, my goodness.
It would have eaten up almost half of it.
Yeah.
And so we would have only gotten 40 or 50 cents on the dollar. Here, the students got back all their money. So kudos to the law firm. And
Indeed so.
And it's unusual. You don't hear too many pro bono cases
for
class action. In fact, I don't know if there are any others that have been class action suits that have went pro bono.
Right.
I'm not aware of any.
No, that's great. And with the result of it, was there anything, and I really hope there was, put in place so that something like this could not happen again?
Well, you know, in most settlement agreements, and usually, you know, Trump has had other settlement agreements, usually they're private. This particular settlement agreement, of course, is public and people could see it. There is no admission, as usual, in settlement agreements of any guilt or wrongdoing. And furthermore, there was no prevention of them doing another university. Now, that was a contention, and you'll learn about that in the book, too, where Eric Schneiderman and his team out of New York, they wanted language in there to stop him from ever doing another university.
Yeah.
But that was going to prevent us getting a dime in this whole thing.
Would
have fell apart.
Right.
And so it went back and forth for a bit, and ultimately they removed that language, and we all, you know, settled, and we thought it was best just to move forward to get the money for the students. So it really was, you know, it's very focused from that perspective. But I think, it was good for the students, and the lawyers and all of us did our job in doing that. But it was bad for America, because we should have had that trial in August now, and it would have exposed. Now, granted, it might have been a hung jury, but we had two bites of the apple, and that gets to what's going on today, is that Donald Trump needs to be indicted for what he's doing. And even if you don't have a perfect case, subpoena the documents from him, do what has to be done, slow him down, because he is going to do everything he can to delay everything anyway.
Yeah.
We were persistent and would anticipate his objections and be very quickly prepared for it. So within days, we'd be able to respond to his objections.
So you being very proactive, yeah, good.
Yeah. So it was challenging and costly. Not everyone has the means. And you were talking about the justice system earlier in the introduction, and yes, our justice system is not, I mean, it has a lot to be desired, because people with a lot of money
have
a big advantage in the court system. Yes.
That's exactly what people were saying to me. It seems that money rules everything. And it's true. It's, you know, this doesn't seem to be right or wrong. It's the person who's got the most money. You know, delay it. And in the end, people, you know, times out or what have you, you know. It is very obvious, you know, to on a global, when people look at it, sort of thing, like global plane.
Look at the tobacco industry. Tobacco industry knew what they were doing, and kept delaying. And ultimately paid. But a lot of people suffered because of it. And so that is Trump's MO, if you will.
Yep.
When he works the court system, yep. He just uses the system to delay for whatever.
And it times out, or people take something less. And he never pays anyway. I mean, how many billions does he owe in court fees? You know, or fees for where he sort of set up a campaign thing or something like that. He just doesn't pay stuff. Anyway, time is beating us. It's a shame, because I really would like to go on for a long while on this. But what I'm going to do now, anyway, Art, is hand the show over to you, so that you can tell everybody where people can find out more about you and, of course, about your book.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Barry. My website is artcohenauthor.com, all one giant word, artcohenauthor.com, where you can find the book available on your usual places, Amazon, but it's available all over the world, Barnes & Noble. It's available pretty much in every country, every place. It's available on Kindle. We launched the book in both Kindle, paperback, as well as hardback. So all available in all three formats immediately. A lot of times people put books out only in one format and so forth. So everybody has a different price point. $9.95 for the Kindle or ebook or Nook or whatever it may be, and then of course $19.95 for the paperback, and I think they're selling the hardback for $29.95.
Okay.
So it's artcohenauthor.com.
Great. Well, Art, it's been a true pleasure chatting to you. I was really looking forward to this show, and so it proved. So thank you so much for being a guest on the show, and good luck with the book.
Yes, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Well, there you go. My guest today, Art Cohen. And as you said, you can find him on artcohenauthor.com. And the book is called Trump U. We were talking about the fact that the O in the middle of U has got an F in it. So you can work out where that should be between Trump and you. Anyway, great book. Really, really, really interesting. A big insight into the whole thing about the Trump University and stuff like that. Recommend it out there. Really do. Anyway, that's it. I'll be back on Sunday with my music shows. But first off, between 5 and 6 p.m. Eastern, we have Those Were the Days. And we're talking trees. Songs about trees this week. And then after that, between 6 and 7 p.m. Eastern, I have the Swinging 60s, music from the 60s, here on New Visions Radio. Well, that's it for now. As always, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget...